If you are ready for an amazing transformational experience, then you need to stay tuned for this next hour for a master's practice with Dr. Aisha Hogan. She is a leading specialist in holistic methodologies and the creator of a powerful integrative technique called enhanced energy communication. A master, clinical and metaphysical hypnotherapist, a well-respected author, a master of the mind, and highly sought international speaker. Get ready for a major breakthrough. And now, your soul guru, holistic transformational specialist, and host of A Master's Practice, Dr. Aisha Hogan.
Hi, everyone, and welcome today to A Master's Practice with me, Dr. Aisha Hogan. And just a reminder that A Master's Practice can always be heard live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today, I am stoked once again, as I always am every single week, with my special guest and a personal friend of mine, Sharon McGregor. She is a psychic medium and just an awesome person altogether. But Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me, and thank you for that great introduction.
Well, you know, you paid me to say that.
It's all true. It's all true.
All right. Okay. So you guys are going to be in for a treat today because Cher has a great sense of humor as well as everything else. She's amazing. So I want to ask you a few questions, Sharon. And the first one is, I'd like you to explain right now to the viewers, what exactly is a psychic medium? What exactly is a psychic medium?
Okay, so the two words there's a psychic, which basically reads energy from the living. So it could be energy from people, some people could even read trees, plants, things like that. So that's the psychic side of it. The mediumship side is connecting with our loved ones who have crossed over.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So, you know, we're all psychic. Every single one of us has the ability. You know, we all have that gut instinct, that intuition where something doesn't feel right or whatever. Quite a lot of times we don't actually listen to it, but we all have this. Mediumship, we can all do it, but it takes a little bit more practice and it's a little bit more in depth. You know, we do have to train to not train to connect with spirit, because spirit are always trying to connect with us, but it's just training and listening to the very, very subtle messages that they're trying to send to us. And so, you know, it does take a little bit of practice.
Right. And it's also probably trusting that message and not thinking that you're just crazy and
imagining it. Exactly.
And I think that that's the piece with everyone, right? So like I've always said to everyone, like I say it too, the connection is always there. It's like it's like a telephone line that's open all the time. But
yes,
are you listening? And everybody can hear this differently, right, Sharon? Like, I mean, I'm claircognizant and clairaudient, so I hear things and know things that I know that are not me, right? So, and sometimes I can see things, but mostly it's knowing and hearing.
Yeah.
So for you, it's a little bit different, right? So how does that come for you?
Well, I mean, you say the clairaudience, which is the hearing, but we don't always hear with our physical ears. And this is where the trust comes in, because it's usually our own thoughts, you know, and even with the clairvoyancy, which is clairseeing, you know, I don't see spirit with my physical eyes. I don't see like ghosts walking by or spirits walking by. They use images that I know. They'll use my memories and things like that, or TV shows or movies, as a just a kind of a way to let me know what their name was, or you know, a situation that they've seen, maybe their loved one since they've passed, you know, or something like that. But they will quite often use TV and movies with me. I have a very sad life. I watch a lot of TV, so but they use what I know. I say all the time, they use what we know. So if you're an avid book reader, they may use a book that you're reading or a book that you've read just to either get their name across. You know, it could be the character in the book or a situation that you've just read in a book or something like that. So they'll use whatever way they can to get a message across.
Okay, so then how would someone be able to distinguish between their own imagination, say, you know, watching a footage of Grease, for instance, mm-hmm. where you see John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John and just be like, okay, because your ears come as movies. And I remember something came to you for me with like Grease or something. So how do you distinguish and know that that's not just a memory of a movie that came to you, but that this is an actual message for somebody?
So this comes back down to that trust. I mean, this is, trust is just the only word really you need to know and need to remember and not to be afraid of making mistakes. So when it did happen to me with the movie Grease and Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, the reason, like, I trust that there was a reason I saw this image, and it was the one at the end of the show where, you know, they had the Ferris wheel, the wheel in the grounds and things like that. And it's like, why would this image come to me? So I have to trust it. So I explain to my clients, this is what I'm seeing. Like, I'm seeing John Travolta. This is the imagery, like the James Dean look and things like that. There has to be a reason why I'm being shown this. And it turned out that it was the young lady, well, one of the person's uncle, but somebody else's brother, that his name was John, and he worked in the fairgrounds in the 50s,
okay.
Right? Which is the scene of Grease and the scenario. So like I say, I sort of think, okay, there's a reason they showed it me. And then it's only by giving it to my client and then validating, here's the reason. This was his name. And yes, he worked. And he looked a bit like him as well, like the James Dean look as well. So, you know, to them, it proved who it was that was coming through.
Okay. I do want to talk about how this came up, but not just yet. I want to save that for after the break because I don't want you to be interrupted about how you were able to begin to access this. My next piece is going to be, now I've watched you in action. I've watched you in teaching workshops and stuff, and how mm-hmm. you also feel things about how people passed, right? Like, so I've seen you actually feel it in your body.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I don't, when I started doing this, when I started doing the mediumship, I kind of said to everybody, you know, my spirit guides and loved ones, and I just said, okay, if this is what you want me to do, you know, work with me, don't hurt me and you know, and things like that come through to me in specific ways. So when, as a validation, I basically say to spirit, okay, how did you pass? Show me on my body how you passed. So I will get aches and pains or palpitations or, you know, various things on my body as to how they either passed or an ailment that they may have had that was predominant, that, you know, it wasn't just, oh, they had a little sore or whatever, but it had to be significant for them to bring it through, again, as a validation. So for me, like I'll get palpitations and a pain maybe in the chest area. Right. I know that that means a heart problem. Now, the reason I know that is because it's an ongoing symbol that they show me or that they put on me, on my body.
Okay.
So I know that it means a heart problem. It could mean something different for somebody else. I know someone else that gets the same kind of feeling, but it actually means stress for them.
Okay.
Right? So the only way is through practice.
And then you start
and validations from your clients.
Right. So what signals in your body represent what different ailments?
So I'll get, so for a lung issue or something going on with the lung, like pneumonia or emphysema or something like that, I will get it in my back, like in between my shoulders, and it kind of feels like it's coming into the front and then goes kind of up my neck. So I know that that's a lung issue. I mean, there are other just sort of aches and pains where, you know, my knee might start to hurt, you know, and it could be that they had a knee problem or something like that. So, you know, there's various things. I'll also get a feeling sometimes on the back of my head that can be quite painful at times. But I know that means that somebody either had a fall that affected the back of their head. Right. You know, or something like that. So there's various different things that will come through. And I also go with my just knowing as well. I use my other instincts, my gut instincts, that I just know that this is what it means, and I trust it. Again, there's that word, trust.
Trust. And for different people, like, so I don't know if everybody understands that there's all different kinds of these clairsenses. So we've got clairaudience for taste, and I forget the one for smell. And then there's one.
I call it clair-smelling. I forget what it is, so I just call it clair-smelling.
That's right. Then there's the clairsentience, where you just feel the you know, the clairaudient and the claircognizant and clairvoyance. Yeah. And that people need
and
to understand.
They're the main ones. Yeah, they're the main four.
I think everybody gets caught up in that I have to be able to see it. Thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they all think that always to be able to be a psychic of any kind, it must mean that you see things out of your third eye, and they forget that it can also be any of your other senses.
Yes, absolutely. And to be honest with you, when you're starting out on this journey and you're opening yourself up to the mediumship, you know, we do kind of break it down, you know, the clairvoyancy, clairsentient, cognizant things and things like that. But once you get in to start doing the readings and things like that, you don't need to be caught up into, am I seeing it, hearing it, feeling it, really. It just comes, you know. Right. And again, it's like sometimes there's a very, very fine line between the four senses. You know, sometimes you don't know how you're getting it, but you just trust in it anyway.
Right.
And it just reels off your tongue. You know, you're just saying things and, you know, again, yes, you feel things in your body, but not everyone does, but I do. But, you know, you just say it. So I don't sit down and think, okay, am I getting it? Am I seeing this? Am I feeling this, hearing this? You don't get wrapped up in that once you start trusting and knowing that it's going to come to you however it comes to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you've been telling me for a long time, she's been telling me for a long time that I'm a medium. And, you know, Aisha, you are. And,
forever. And,
whatever. But I've been and I didn't realize that I was using it all the time because it's just been recently that, because I don't just stand in a room full of people like you do. Like, you do these gallery readings and, you know, let's just talk about your gallery. You know what? Let me just tell you about this first, because there's so much I want to ask you. I'm starting to flip around here. Okay. So, you know, when I'm with a client and we're talking about somebody who's passed, because generally sometimes that's their problem. They're dealing with their grief and stuff. And all of a sudden I get this like crazy head to toe tingling that's ridiculous. And it comes in and it's like, I know that they're in the room. And I know that they're just, because I start saying things to them that is not my phrasing.
Your words.
My words. It's not my verbiage. Yeah. I'm like, I have a message for you and I don't know if this makes any sense, and I'm sorry that I'm going to curse at you right now, because this is how they talk. You know, they talk with cursing inside their whatever. So I'll just say it exactly as I'm hearing it, and they're like, "Oh my God, that's exactly them."
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I always have this phew moment where I'm phew. Like, they validate it, then I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy. All right, so
yeah.
It's those moments. And I do remember even one time I was talking with a woman who had lost her daughter like 10 years ago, and her daughter came into the room And my head sort of turned to the right because I felt like something was there. And I could feel her almost, I don't know how to say this, almost like not hands, but it's the only way that I can describe it, were sort of holding on to either side of my face and not letting me turn my face back to the woman. Almost like, pay attention, I have some things to tell you about her that you need to tell her, right? So I couldn't move my head back, right? I was just like, okay, bring it on. And the whole time there's also this voice in my left brain going, is this really happening? Is this really happening right now?
Yeah, but this is your trust. This is that trust aspect.
This is that trust.
Are you taking the mickey out of my accent again?
This is that trust, Axe. Yes, that's exactly.
Good job. Not I'm not paying you for this, isn't it? Paying you for giving me some hassle.
Well, you know, I like to give you hassle. It's fun.
I know. Okay. It wouldn't be the same without it.
Right? Okay. So what I want to talk to you about, and I want to sort of just begin this conversation before break. At what point in your life, now you have an interesting story to tell. And at what point in your life did you find that you could access this ability? And we're going to talk about that when we come back from break. We're going to go to break now, so stay tuned. Okay. We'll be back shortly with A Master's Practice.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Are you ready to live your life depression-free? Are you having thoughts of ending things? Wondering what life would be like without chronic pain? How about no longer suffering the effects of trauma and PTSD? Are you tired of having your credibility questioned because you look fine? And no one understands that you are struggling with an invisible disorder. Hi, I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan, and I'm a holistic transformation specialist. I work with clients from all over the world to aid them in eliminating, that's right, you heard me, eliminating their current struggles and challenges. I don't work with symptoms. That's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. I'm all about root cause and all the levels of you, as each one of us is unique. Ready to transform your life for good, to move into the best version of yourself and reach your unlimited potential? Then book your complimentary 1-hour online consultation with me by going to www.aishahogan.com. That's AYSEHogan.com. And it will take you right to my clinic, the Chakra House of Healing. I look forward to meeting you there.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to A Master's Practice with me, Dr. Aisha Hogan. And today my guest, psychic medium, Sharon McGregor. So hi, Sharon.
Hi.
So we're back. And now just we're before back. The break, just before the break, I asked you a question. And we're going to use this time now to just sort of want to hear your story, because it's a very interesting story. And I do know it. And I think that the viewers need to hear it. So the viewers, the listeners, when did you know you could access this ability that you have, and what led you to knowing that?
Okay, so I hear so many people that have said they, you know, saw spirits when they were younger, and, you know, felt things and knew things when they were a child and growing up. I never got anything like that. I had nothing. But I have always believed in life after death. I've always believed in spirituality and mediums and things like that. I used to go to them all the time. But I also thought you had to be special, in inverted commas, to be a medium and to connect with loved ones, because, you know, nobody ever said to me that we could all do this. And so 9 years ago, I lost my son in a single car accident. He was my only child. He was 17. And I, as you know, I was at a very, very low point. I didn't want to be here. I was done. I wasn't mum anymore, and I didn't know what to do with my life. And so, you know, basically, I went to a lot of mediums to connect with my son Matthew, and eventually somebody at the spiritualist church in Burlington said, you know, you can actually do this for yourself. And I was pretty hooked on that. I will say as also that, you know, just after Matthew died, I read this book, Gift of Life, also about a lady who had lost a child, and she too became a medium. And I just thought, I want to do this. I didn't know how, I didn't know what to do. But I then did start going to development classes.
Right.
And the thing is, I only wanted to do it for myself. I only wanted to connect with Matthew for me. I had no intentions of doing readings for anybody else. It was really purely to keep me alive, basically. It right. was the only thing that kept me going, was knowing that he was okay and that he was around me through these messages I was receiving from other mediums. That then once I got onto this journey for myself, I started learning, I pretty much was hooked.
If you'll have me. So at what point though, did you start feeling like you could connect? What was that? Do you remember that first moment, that first time where you were like, I think I'm doing this?
Yes. Yes. The first time, I mean, I know now that Matthew was giving me signs not long after he passed. I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, when you lose someone, whether it's right. a child or anybody, our loved ones are always, always trying to connect with us just to, you know, let us know that they're okay and that they're around us. And again, like you said before, sometimes it can be very subtle that we just kind of put it down to coincidence or anything like that. So we lose what is a valuable, valuable message because we don't trust, right? Or right, understand right. or understand how spirit are trying to connect with us. That's what it is. We just don't understand it.
Right.
But the first time that it really hit me, I was on a development class, and we were just in a circle and bringing in our loved ones. And my son loved his aftershave. And we were just sat in this circle, and I, you know, called him in, and instantly I could smell his aftershave. And he'd only been gone probably 3 months at this time, three, maybe four months. I just broke down crying because it was so strong. But, you know, I had that little doubt in me again. And I said, okay, if this is really you, go away with the smell and bring it back. And it did. It, you know, and the smell was so, so strong. I just thought, oh, my God, that's him. I just knew it. And really, from then, I was just like a sponge. I was absorbing everything. I just wanted to go to all classes, do different, you know, different things, just anything just to connect with him. That was pretty much the moment.
Now, I remember a session that you and I had together that you came to we wanted to connect with Matthew. And, mm-hmm. but you, even though you could connect with him, you never seemed to be able to get, and I don't know if you remember everything that we did in that session, but you never were able to get the why, like, why did someone so young, your son, have to pass? And I remember, as I'm sitting here talking to you now, the memories are coming back a little bit clearer. So I remember that I had you connecting with him. And I was kind of playing, I guess, the medium for the medium. And mm-hmm. I had you connecting with him. And you had seen him in this beautiful purple robe. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yes.
So you remembered him. You had seen them in this beautiful purple robe. And then you had asked him what he was. You had asked him a couple of questions, but a couple that stick out in my mind, I don't remember all the questions, but I do remember the one where you said, like, what are you doing there now? And it had to do with children. That he was a very old soul and that he was helping the children, the younger mm-hmm. souls that were up there, that was his job. And that the second question or the, I don't know, I can't remember what order you asked them in, but the next question that you had asked him was, why? Why did you leave me? And when we realized that he was how old a soul Matthew was, his response was so that you would get your gift. That was my purpose, was for you to get your gift. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Bittersweet.
And I think when a lot of people have questions about why their children or young children pass away. And I think that my response has always been, because I get this question, and maybe you have a different response to that, but the response that I always give them is, number one, sometimes their death, the purpose of their death was to create a domino effect in the mm-hmm. people around them. And sometimes it was, you know, that soul or spirit entered that body to live that life and then decided, like, you know what? I didn't do this right, or I didn't choose properly or whatever. And this isn't turning out the way that I planned, or I changed my mind or whatever. And they're out. Right.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that?
I think I would say the domino effect. I would say that's probably 99.9% of the time, like for any person that passes on, because it is always a domino effect, you know, whether it's an old person that passes or whether it's a child. You know, that then goes into our soul contract. And, you know, do we then honor that? Because, you know, sometimes I know if I didn't go into mediumship, if I had, you know, if my soul had decided not to go and continue with the contract, which is what I had, I wouldn't be here for sure. You know, I mean, you know yourself, like many times I thought about, you know, ending it. But, you know, each time, specifically one time that I did think, and I just said, Matthew, you need to let me know why I'm here. And the effect, like I had tapping on the window when there was nobody there. I had the phone, you know, within 20 minutes, there was a phone call from the police and asking me if I would do like an impact statement because my son had been drinking and driving. And I ended up then going, talking to school, to kids in schools.
Right.
But had I not listened to that, and had I, you know, maybe not picked up the phone or said, no, I'm not going to do this, my life could have been so very different. Do you know what I mean? So again, we also have our free will, you know, our choices and things like that. And you were talking about old souls and things like that. And Matthew was an old soul. And I want to just say something. When Matthew passed, I did go and see this particular medium in Milton. And she, and I asked her the question, because this was before I got into all this. And I asked her the question, like, why? Like, you know, parents are not supposed to lose their children, right?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, younger and all this. And she said, but what makes you think he's younger than you? And exactly. I looked at her and I thought, it's like, what do you mean? She said, his soul is so much more older than you. He's been there, done that kind of thing, got the T-shirt kind of thing.
Right.
He hasn't got as many lessons to learn that I maybe have. You know, and part of our contract was he would come for what, however long into my life until it got me onto this path. And, you know, and it kind of really made me think afterwards. I mean, it's hard to take that in when you just lost your child.
Yes.
Right? No, it doesn't matter what anybody says to you, you know. But when I actually thought about it afterwards and I thought, oh, my gosh. Like, it makes so much more sense, you know, yes. Now. I mean, at the time, it was like, it was hard to hear. But it did make a lot of more sense afterwards. You know, he right. was here to help me get on this path. Because I said to her, I said, well, why did I, you know, she said, and she told me I was going to be a light worker. And I didn't even know what a light worker was at that time. And she said to me, you're going to be here. You're here to do what I'm doing. And I thought she was crazy. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be doing this.
Right.
And I said, you know, and she said, this was the contract. And I said, why did I have to lose my son in order to get on this path? Like, I've lost my mom, I've lost my dad. And she said to me, but what have you ever done about it? And it was like, nothing.
And you know, I think that, that's a really good point. Sorry to cut you off there, Sharon, but I think that's good point that people don't get, is that they get so wound up. And I mean, losing somebody, and I'm not belittling anyone's feelings when I say this, because grief is something that we have to go through.
Grief is grief. Yes.
But sometimes these obstacles, whether it be death or something big shows up in our lives, you know, you have to go bankrupt or, you know, like,
yep.
something big shows up in your life, people get, or they, you know, their marriage breaks up or something happens or kids run away from home or whatever it is. But we look at these obstacles and we get so caught up in the emotions of it. And we stay there. We stay there in the emotions, that whenever we even think back to it, we're stuck in the emotions of it, that we never for a moment stop and say, why did this show up for me? Why did this happen? And what was I meant to learn from this? Like, there must have been, because there's no such thing as random. Like, I mean, the random is 0.01%, right? So, like, I mean, everything else shows up for a reason. And I think that people have, people who have awakened a little bit get it, but just the mass population of the world don't really understand that, hey, look at those moments of loss and think about why.
Yeah. But
not,
I mean,
not why poor me, but why?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's hard when you're in that moment, when you're in that grief, when you're in, you know, to think these things and to think, okay, what's the silver lining for this and that. I mean, and you know, this is where we want with the viewers. Please don't misunderstand what we're trying to say. You've got to
go through your grief. You have to go through the grief. You've got to do the grief. Yes.
You've got to do all that. You have to go through those stages. You know, you have to do that for you. But you know, there will come a point where it's okay, let you know, what can I do now? Because that was, it was really hit me at one point. It's and it was only a few years back that I actually just thought to myself that I don't want to be a victim anymore, because that's what I was. I was kind of still just putting myself in, I'm the mother that's lost a child, and I was even categorizing myself as that. And it was poor me, you know, and things like that. And I just, it got to a point where it was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't be right. this victim. I have to do something to honor A, Matthew, B, yes. me. You know, I always put Matthew first, even though we should actually put ourselves first. I know that.
I was just going to say that, but yes, okay.
I know, but you know what? The mum in me, everything I do is still for Matthew. It's still yes. in his honour. But that's just, you know, that, like I say, that's the mum in me. That still, everything's for him still.
I get it. But so this is really interesting that we're ending this part, because we're going to talk about Matthew just a little bit more in a moment. We're going to break. Stay tuned, and we'll be back shortly with a master's practice.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Are you tired of being tired? If you're feeling overwhelmed in your mind and your body to the point where it is breaking your spirit, then it is time to take back control of your entire life in a whole new way. Come join us in Nashville, Tennessee, November 15th through 17th for a retreat filled with transformation and freedom, achieving methods and protocols. Learn real, ready-to-use exercises and techniques that will have you feeling better than you have probably ever felt. The healers at this event have more than 50 years of combined expertise in the art of making you feel well, bringing you tools that are so different than anything you have ever experienced before. This is a specialized event with personalized activities, so space is limited. Are you ready to make a serious breakthrough? If you want to experience massive healing in a short time, then this is something that cannot be missed. You deserve to have an amazing life. This is your opportunity to finally make it a reality. Ready to transform your world? Go to GuruRetreats.com and register now.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth.
A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
there, and welcome back to A Master's Practice with me, Dr. Aisha Hogan, and my guest, Sharon McGregor.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so the next thing I want to talk to you about is that when you are actually doing your readings now, how, like, there's something interesting that happens between you and Matthew.
Yeah, he will help to bring my clients' loved ones through that may need help. It's not every time, but, you know, sometimes if I know that spirit are there and I think they may just need a little bit of guidance or, you know, just a little helping hand. So I'll just call on Matthew and I'll just say, okay, can you just help them to come a bit closer or, you know, whatever it is that they need. I'll just help them along. And the same when I do demonstrations as well. And I do the gallery style. I always call upon Matthew to just help bring any loved ones forward. He's a bit comical, is our Matthew. He, you know, they don't change their personalities. So he's a bit of a prankster. But right. He really does help a lot of people to come forward if they need help. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He
That's
just
amazing.
Needs that.
So
yeah.
We've got a little bit of time left here, but what I would like to talk just quickly do here before I ask you about your gallery readings, or maybe we can blend those together. If someone wanted to contact you, if somebody wanted to get a reading from you, what type of readings can they get and how would they contact you?
Okay, so they basically would contact me either through my website, which is Spirits RE. So it's Spirits with an S, the letter RWE dot CA, or they could email me at spiritsrwe at gmail.com. So either way. You know, and we could do one-on-one readings, which can be done either in person or by Skype or on the phone.
Right.
Energy is energy, so it doesn't matter, you know, where you are. I also do home-style galleries, sort of in sort of my local area-ish, which is in Oakville, Ontario.
Right.
You know, I will travel to other areas, you know, with a sort of an arranged plan, things like that.
Right.
And I do also Akashic Records readings as well, which basically is, as we talked about soul contracts before. So basically Akashic Records are, you know, before you come here on this earth at this time, you you know, have lessons, purposes and things like that that you sort of plan to do in this lifetime, and we can go into your Akashic records and find certain things out as far as your purpose and lessons are concerned. But what I will say about the Akashic records, you get what you need and it's not always what you want to hear. You have to be just open to receiving the information that comes, and it basically makes you reevaluate your life. It doesn't give you the answers per se. It's not going to give you the lottery numbers or anything like that. The idea of the Akashic records is that the idea of the Akashic records is that you reevaluate your life and look again into why things happen, and then, you know, what do I do with this now? You know, and you just look at things in a different way in order for you to then make better choices or the right choices.
Right. It's amazing.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that. I want to quickly go over, like, so when you were here, when you came to visit me the last time, you did a reading and for my mother, actually, but it turned out some of it was for me. And
yes,
I was in a workshop with you that weekend. I was in your workshop. And
yes, because I teach mediumship now as well.
That's right. You teach it. So I was in that workshop with you, and somebody had seen something for me. They saw a baby being held by Archangel Michael. And at first I did, you know, and it was a boy. And at first I was just sort of in denial about it. I was like, I don't know what that is. And I don't know who that is. But the voice was in my head very clearly about who that baby was. And that was a baby that I had lost back when I was younger. And I went hysterical in the middle of the workshop. Like, I just started crying. I broke down. All the stuff that I thought I had dealt with those years ago, I guess I didn't, because everything showed up. And I was kind of a mess. And the weird thing was the night before, you actually saw my father in my house, who has passed away also about 10 years ago now. And he was pacing back and forth like an expectant father in the house. Yeah. And you were asking me why he was doing that. And I was like, I actually don't know. And the next day, this whole baby reading came up from one of your students, from one of the other students for me.
Yeah.
And then later on that weekend, you were doing a reading for my mom, and my dad showed up again with a young man who was around the age of his young 20s, which is what my son would have been had he have been born. And I lost it once again that weekend. And it was, and you know, there were some messages in there for me, and he does show up from time to time. But the interesting thing was, you know, he wanted me to name him, and that, you know, to give him a name. And that he was okay.
Because he's
that
here, that because he wants to help you. He wants to help you.
And that I should forgive myself, right? So that was the whole thing, that he's okay, that I need to be okay, right? So so I named him Michael, because Archangel Michael had brought him that day. And the funny thing was, is I got a splitting headache for like 2 days after that. And I kept hearing the word Nathaniel in my head. And I was like, he doesn't like the name Michael. And the minute I said, okay, I'll change your name to Nathaniel, and the headache stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, you did a lot of healing that weekend.
I did. I did incredible healing that weekend. And it was weird because, you know, sometimes we think that things are, like, I thought I had done my forgiveness work, but I didn't. Like, you know, I thought I had done the work that I needed to do about it, but I guess I really didn't forgive myself.
Mm.
For you know, how it had all transpired. So interesting how these things show up for us. And there's I guess my message in all of this is that, number one, now Nathaniel shows up for me. Number two, you know, in people's death, even if a child is not born, there are messages in this for you. You know, and there is something that there was a reason why this happened to you. And a lot of people will carry this guilt with them and this hurt with them for so long, as if it just happened yesterday, but they won't forgive themselves, and they'll beat themselves up, and they'll live in this turmoil and this depression when, you know, if they could just understand the message.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, we miss these little messages so much, you know, because they're so subtle, or because, again, they don't understand what it is or how our loved ones are trying to come through, because a lot of people are blinkered. You know, they think it's black and white, and that if they're going to come through, they're going to come through like this, or with this special word, you know, or things like that. And it's not. It can be anything. It can be that butterfly that goes by you, you know, things like that. But a lot of people just think, oh, it's just a butterfly. You know, you've got to be open to however it comes, and just go with your gut and trust.
Absolutely. And it's crazy. My dad was, he's come for you lots of times when you've come to see me. Like, he always tends to show up. But he's shown up for me a couple of times. And my father used to be in air conditioning and refrigerationing and that kind of thing. So he used to come home every day smelling like cutting oil, right? And I remember coming home one day, and my whole house stunk of cutting oil. And I had this big decision I had to make. And that's when I decided to move to my cottage, right? But I had this big decision I had to make. And I was like, just give me a sign whether I should do this. And I walked out of my house that day, went out, ran some errands, came back to smell. My whole house would smell like cutting oil. And I was like, all right,
I'll do it. Clearly he wants me to do this. So,
yeah.
And I was like, and don't stink up my house anymore. So that was the other thing. I was a sense of humor about it. And then here last year, I mean, he's shown up lots of different ways, but when he really wants me to see him, I always get that smell of cutting oil. And here last year, we had this big snowfall. It was the last snowfall. I went into my drawer to put on a sweater. And this sweater, I only had it for a year. So I put on the sweater and I pulled it out of the drawer and it reeked of cutting oil. And I started picking up other sweaters out of the same drawer, smelling them, and they didn't smell like cutting oil. And I was like, okay, he's here. And my sense of humor at that moment was like, all right, if you're going to show up in the middle of a storm, you better pick up a shovel because there's a lot of snow out there and I could use the help.
Yeah. And then you went out and saw footprints all in the snow.
So, that'd have been good. Just to be aware. When you want them, they will show up. They will show up.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. They will.
So if you want to give anybody a quick strategy or a tip that they could give to themselves right now to sort of bring out this ability in them or try to start to bring this ability out in them or recognize it, what would you say?
It's going back to that word, trust. Think of it like this. Like spirit will never waste a thought, right? They, you know, there's always a reason why they'll show whatever they'll show, or they'll come in whatever way they'll come. So let's this happened to me. So I'm just going to say, use this example. You know, you could be sat there and you're watching telly, or you just sat there quietly or whatever. And then let's just say a memory comes into your mind. You suddenly think of something and think to yourself, okay, why would I suddenly think of this random memory or something? Well, think about who is in that memory. Is it somebody that's passed? Right? And if it is, you know, think to yourself, oh my God, you know, I'm just going to say it's your mum. Then, you know what, just say to your mom, okay, mom, oh gosh, yes, I remember that memory. Thank you for being here. Always thank them. Tell them that you know that you've seen the memory and you realize it's them. Appreciate it. Because it's very hard for spirit to lower their vibration in order to put this memory or to make you think of this random thing. You know, it is hard. So just always appreciate them and say, thank you. Oh my gosh, yes, I remember that. And the other thing is, we keep saying, I need a sign. Give me a sign that you're around me. Okay. So you have to think this sign will come in any way that it can. So let's just say, as an example, you know, somebody says, okay, you know, let's say Matthew, I need a sign that you're here. And I might go outside and then there might be a billboard with the name Matthew on it. Now, he's not put that billboard up. He's not put that sign up there. But what they do is manipulate you in order to see it.
Right?
Accept that. Take that as your sign. You've been asking them to let you know they're around. So don't turn around when they've just, you know, given you a big sign literally with their name on it and just say, oh, that's just a billboard. It's just a sign. You've been asking for a sign that they're around. That will be it. Appreciate it and accept it and say thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's an awesome good message. And I did love what you just said. Spirit will never waste a thought.
No, they won't.
That's an awesome statement. And I'm feeling it. I'm just saying. I'm feeling that.
Yeah.
That's coming.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, and they won't, because it takes too much energy for them, you know, to keep doing this. So they're not going to say, send you something that's not true, or they're not going to send you something that doesn't make sense. You know, just trust it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sharon, for sharing your time with us today. And all
very welcome
listeners, Thank you. Please come back every Monday. I'm here at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please join me on A Master's Practice. I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Goodbye.